This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another program this month because April designated as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Marion Pearson here from the Mercy Foundation and the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
We did figure out this is the first time you've probably been in person in 2 years.
Yeah, a couple years.
It seems to be a common theme right now as we shift along, and we'll talk about that aspect of what you've been doing here in a bit. But I guess, first of all, at the front end, maybe tell people about the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition, part of Mercy Foundation. Once you get through the entire name, can you fit that on a business card?
You'd be surprised what we can fit on business cards these days. The Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition has been in existence since 2010. It actually started as an idea in 2008 with a community analysis of gaps in services for violence prevention initiatives. And it was through those analyses of our community that we found that we had a lot of really terrific agencies that were doing response, but we still needed to beef up our prevention. And that's really how it started. We have over 30 partners strong who are still working in the realm of child abuse prevention throughout the community within schools and public and private agencies.
So were you there when it all began?
I was hired in 2011 to be the coordinator of the coalition. And since then, I still remain in that position. And since then, we also started the Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force.
So you've got your hands full now. Were you already here in town before that?
I actually was. Yes, I've lived in Douglas County for I think close to 10 years or 11 years. No, 20 years. I'm sorry, 20 years. Oh my goodness.
Time flies.
It does.
So talk about how the coalition and the work is funded.
We are funded through very generous grants from community. CHI, our parent company, Mercy's parent company, that's now Common Spirit, has given us a generous grant and has given us those grants since the very beginning of the coalition. And we are also with the Trafficking Task Force. We're also funded through VOCA, which is Victims of Crime Act.
So what's kind of the main focus of what you're trying to do these days?
Well, we are definitely all about child abuse prevention, but we also look at, with the Trafficking Task Force, we do also address the needs of the adults, and we do a lot of support services and response services within that as well. But during the month of April, which is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, it's also Sexual Assault Prevention and Awareness Month, we have put up our pinwheels. Our pinwheel garden is all over Mercy. You'll also see many pinwheel gardens throughout Douglas County. That is actually one of those visual things that raises awareness. But we do a lot of education still. We're doing a lot of promotion and over social media, providing education on the red flags and the indicators of not just child abuse, but also of trafficking, child sex trafficking in particular.
So the pinwheels is like a national thing, right?
It is a national thing. Gardens are up all over the place during the month of April, and it's pinwheels are a whimsical symbol of childhood, and it is to remind us all that we need to protect our children as well as support those who have been victims and survivors of child abuse.
So talk about some of the other groups you work with in town to get your message out.
Oh my goodness, we have so many amazing partners throughout the community. I know if I start to name them, I'm going to miss somebody for sure. But some of our really main partners are Douglas Cares. We work with Child Welfare. They're really terrific partners with us. The Juvenile Department, Family Development Center, the ESD, Public Health works with us. Oh, my goodness. I know I'm just going to forget all kinds of folks. But law enforcement, most definitely. So we have government agencies, not-for-profits, and law enforcement, first responders, and schools.
Now, during the last 2 years of the pandemic, how has that kind of complicated things for you?
We did have to shift the way that we did some business. We were very, very much out in the community prior to the pandemic, but we still remained vigilant in our efforts. And so a lot of our efforts moved online. We did some online trainings. We have some survivor films that are really terrific and provide a lot of information over social media. But we still have always offered in-person or Zoom trainings, just as we always have with prior to the pandemic.
When you look at the issue of child abuse, how do you think the pandemic affected it?
Oh, it affected it greatly, actually. We knew that when schools closed down and there was less eyes on our county's children and children across the nation, of course, we knew that there was going to be some added risk, that a lot of children were sequestered in homes with abusers or within neighborhoods with abusers where they had easy access to them. Plus, much more time online meant much more opportunity for online predators to get to our kids.
And obviously, when kids are in school, teachers can see them. Sometimes if the kids don't say anything, you can either see physical signs or, you know, kind of a mental sign of, hey, something's going on there. That's a little harder to do on Zoom.
It's much harder to do on Zoom, but you know, we have Safe Oregon. I think our schools did a really good job of making sure that even though children were learning online, that they knew what the resources were, that they had an opportunity to continually to report any sort of risk to themselves or risk to their friends. And so we did start to get some reports as soon as some of the school districts started to run banners across their online classrooms.
Now, what about the aspect of human trafficking during the pandemic? Anything shift there?
You know, honestly, it really did not shift. There were still consumers that were meeting victims in person. A lot of the recruitment and a lot of the exploitation and the selling of a human happens online. It's all done electronically, but the actual act itself has always been in person, and it remained in person. We did see some uptick in some webcam activity, certainly, and then, of course, a higher risk to any sort of youth that was still online.
And talk about the trafficking aspect in Douglas County, because people always assume we're this quiet rural area, this probably isn't going on here.
That assumption is really what allows trafficking to continue. We have an amazing, beautiful area. And certainly it's hard to believe that things like human trafficking can actually occur here. But it does. It actually happens here. We have I-5 that runs right through the middle of us. So we know we have victims that are going up and down the I-5. But anybody that's close to the I-5 is also at risk. But that is also true for our neighborhoods. We've seen it within the drug communities. It shows up what looks like to some form of domestic violence or intimate partner violence. There's an element with that as well. So it's in our neighborhoods. More than half of our survivors were trafficked by family members.
And you mentioned the drug activity. We've heard even this week about, you know, big amounts of marijuana being found, other items as well, mm-hmm. and these things that are tied to oftentimes cartels, et cetera. What about the aspect of people who work there sometimes being trafficked themselves?
Absolutely. You know, we did just have a big article come out about luxury cars that were showing up at some of the illicit marijuana grows that are here in our county. What we certainly do know is that those that are working those grow sites are very often exploited. They've been defrauded. They've been threatened or coerced to work in those fields, and they are not getting the salary that's promised. They live and they work in terrible conditions and are threatened if they want to try to leave or they want to reach out and get help. And so we consider those are trafficking victims.
And sometimes as well, it appears that in some of these situations, those folks may have gotten into the country illegally. So there's that aspect as well, because then while they're victims, they're, kind of stuck in a way.
Well, that's the assumption, is that they are stuck, but they're really not. The Homeland Security does a really terrific job of identifying victims and then trying to get them the visas that they need in order to stay here in the country and assist them anyway. They're not just deported immediately, and that seems to be the myth. There are services available, whether they're here legally or not, but certainly the threat of either holding somebody's papers if they're here legally or being here illegally is a really terrific way to control somebody.
More when we come back. Marion Pearson from the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition and the Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Looking at arts, entertainment, community activities. We've got some live music this afternoon and a whole lot more just over 3 hours away. On Mondays Inside Douglas County, we're going to look towards fire season with Pat Stripp and Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Marion Pearson in here now from Up to Us Now, Child Abuse Prevention Coalition, and the Douglas County Human Trafficking Coalition. And now that things are beginning to happen again, you've got more things going on.
We do have a lot more things going on. We will be appearing at the Coastal Women's Conference in May. We're also going to be back over in Reedsport doing some training with their medical professionals. But we've always got trainings going on here as well, opportunities. We did just pilot a prevention curriculum up at Oakland High School that went really, really well. We appreciated that invitation up there.
How many schools do things like that?
You know, every school has an opportunity to do it. We have curriculum for each and every one of them. We wanted to just make sure, because we changed the curriculum to make it not just prevention, but prevention and response, we needed to pilot it someplace. So the curriculum will be available within the next week or two to all of the other schools. We hope that they will also roll it out. We provide them task force support in order to do that. I went personally up to Oakland High and really had a great time. Their administration was fantastic. The kids were excellent.
And what's it like to share that kind of information with high school students?
You know, the information's really hard to hear. I did have an opportunity to sit with the students during lunch and did get some feedback from them. They said it was difficult to hear, but they really appreciated hearing it and knowing how to not just help themselves, but to also help out their friends.
And what's involved there when you have this curriculum? Is this something that would be a long-term learning time, or is this like something where you take a couple days and focus on it? How does it work?
Actually, the curriculum can be taught in one class setting. It's real interactive. There's some very engaging videos that go along with it. There's some question forms, and there's a discussion piece. And it can really be done in a 50-minute period.
Now, what else do you guys have going on?
We always have trainings. But you know what we're doing this weekend is, as soon as I leave here, I'm headed down to Seven Feathers for the 4th annual Tattoo Expo. They invite us every single year. We have a booth with information for clients who are coming in, for patrons who are checking out the artists, and for the artists themselves to recognize the signs and indicators of trafficking.
And an opportunity to get a big group of people in one weekend.
Absolutely. And it's one of our very favorite events. We really appreciate being invited down there every year.
So does that mean you're getting a new tattoo?
Not this year. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Ah, there we go. The great part of live radio. You weren't expecting that question.
I was not.
No. So, what's one of the draws to that, though? Is there a particular element tied to the tattoo community? I can call it that.
You know, there really is. First of all, traffickers don't necessarily expect tattoo artists to be on the lookout for possible victims or situations of trafficking. But branding is also pretty common within the trafficking world, that traffickers will brand, much like we brand our cattle around Douglas County, to show ownership. And they'll do that with the victims that they want to keep and show ownership. And the ownership is for other traffickers to be on the lookout that this person absolutely belongs to somebody.
That's like stunning to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, people, normally I don't have a tattoo and the chance of my ever having one is hovering around zero. But for a lot of people that do, I mean, it's an artistic expression about yourself. And,
yes.
And I get all that. But that's one thing. But another thing to have someone do it to you and you don't have a choice, essentially.
Exactly, exactly. And it's that particular difference that tells you particular kinds of questions to ask. If someone's being brought into a studio for a tattoo and they're not allowed to pick out their own, they're not allowed to express themselves, there is no story there other than someone else picked this out for me, then, you know, further questions should happen after that. That's risky.
So have you found success in identifying people that are being exploited?
We actually have in several different ways. Tattoos are just one of those ways. But certainly, once you know what to look for, once you know what the red flags are, then you know what questions to ask and learn what questions to ask, then you can help anybody that's at risk for any types of abuse, not just exploitation or trafficking.
I was looking ahead on the calendar, and I forget the day next week, but there's a Denim Day. Can you explain
that? Yes, I'd be happy to explain it. Denim Day is really part of the Sexual Assault Awareness Prevention and Awareness Month. And wearing your denim on the last Wednesday of the month raises awareness for the prevention of sexual assault in support of victims and survivors of sexual assault, but also to let everybody know that it doesn't matter what a victim may be wearing, that it's never the victim's fault for sexual assault.
And do you think, do a lot of people follow that, do that?
Yeah, it's a national movement. It actually started in Italy with a case of a young gal who was sexually assaulted by her driver's ed teacher. And even though the perpetrator had been convicted, the conviction was overturned because the judge decided during appeal that because the young gal was wearing tight jeans, that she must have had to help take off the jeans in order to be assaulted, thereby consenting to the assault. And yeah, that didn't fly very well in Parliament over there. And so the women of Parliament at the next session wore their jeans to work. And that really started the movement. And then it was brought over here to the U.S. And we've been recognizing it for, 20 years or more.
Wow. What else do you have going on with, especially around the kids these days?
Celebrate Children is happening at the end of this month. It's on the 30th out at Wildlife Safari. And how exciting to be back in person with all of our local resources. It's a free event open to families. Tons of great resources, lots of games and prizes for kids. It can be an all-day event. Super excited about that. Family Development Center, I believe, is the host for that this year. The gal that has continually, Karen Harden, throughout the community set this up for years now, is back as coordinator for that particular event. It's super, super exciting. And I think the YMCA is also doing Safety Day.
Yeah, and it's interesting, all these things finally happening again.
We're so excited to be back into the community. And little plug that maybe I hadn't mentioned earlier, we're hoping that come September that we will again be able to do our Challenge of the Heroes fundraiser.
Oh, great. And explain what that is.
Yeah, it's a really terrific fundraiser for child abuse prevention as well as the Human Trafficking Task Force, where we enlist our first responders, our EMS, firefighters, our law enforcement, our military. We enlist them to go into host restaurants, and they wait tables and they serve food and generally just meet and greet and socialize and entertain us all, and gather up the tips. And all the tips that they gather for this one particular night is donated back to up to us now, and then we put it right back into the community with programs.
Just about out of time. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, how do they get connected?
They can certainly contact us at Mercy Foundation. That phone number is 541-677-4818. They can check out all of the events on the Facebook pages. We have the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition Facebook page, as well as Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force and Mercy Foundation.
All right, Marian Pearson, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.